So are we going to talk about explode mode?
What is there to talk about?
I don't know. It exists. It's a mode.
We could start just seeding it into conversations.
Yeah, we should, I think we should. And then just, I could have an ex- the
then I could have an excuse
Definitely,
to make a song about it
tonight.
Well, I mean, no, I just mean
you don't have a song for this week, do you?
No, I don't.
Oh, fuck. Shit.
Yeah, I'm hoping to just not mention it.
It's all on you to sing.
Games.
It's November 12th, 2008, and Noah Heller is pulling shit out of his ass.
This is Idle Thumbs 6. And I'm Chris Remo.
I'm Nick Brecken.
I'm Jake Rodkin.
And today we're joined by Brad Shoemaker of Giant Bomb.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, Brad.
Hi. Hey. Greetings.
How was the trek over from Giant Bomb headquarters?
It was not bad. I took the bus. But I got to say, I don't know how you guys podcast at 8 in the evening after eating a bunch of pizza.
Well, you're about to find out.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. Travel by
ready.
Fire here. Right
yeah.
Now.
For yeah. Video
I'm all sleepy right now, but...
Yeah.
Let's try to talk about video games.
Video games. Fortunately for you, that's what we talk about.
I can handle that.
We love them.
We love them. So as Jake sort of alluded to in his wonderful little intro there.
Fuck off.
Noah Heller, the senior producer from Activision. I'm sure you guys have seen the blog post on Ryan Bowling's blog. He's the community manager for Infinity Ward.
He's the communications director.
I thought he was community manager. Really? Okay.
Also, it's Robert.
If I'm wrong,
Robert Bowling. What did I say?
Ryan.
Oh man.
I don't know. If either of us are wrong, I don't know. We suck.
Yeah.
I heard that on the internet though that he. That so was his he.
Because so everything on the internet is true.
I'm sure everybody knows it by now, but basically, I guess this guy Noah Heller has a history of constantly referencing Infinity Ward's games when he's talking about Treyarch's upcoming game, Call of Duty: World at War. And Robert Bowling had enough of his shit, I guess, and decided to publicly air his grievances on a blog on the internet.
Yeah.
Maybe not the wisest course of action.
No.
But.
I saw that on GI.biz, and the headline there, like, it was the first I'd heard of the story, and it said, Infinity Ward director attacks Activision producer. And I was like, oh shit. Like, it's finally comes
out.
Like,
yeah. Like, oh shit, he jumped him in the parking lot with a tire iron.
I actually was like, is this one of those weird sort of awkward human interest stories that sort of creeps into games? I was like, oh geez, a horrible thing happened in a public enough place. But I had sort of hoped that maybe someone had come to blows. Like,
that would be amazing.
Yeah. It would have been amazing.
And then they found out afterwards.
But like, it was actually awkwardly. Just that he accused the guy of pulling shit out of his ass.
Yeah. And he referred to him as Senior Super Douche. It's possibly the best job title ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you see that kind of that conflict a lot between
David Jaffe and everyone else.
usually the conflict is not between people on the payroll at the same company.
But I was going to say, a lot of times you do see it between the development side and the publishing side. Like that, you know, you get that flip, especially when it comes with producers. You know, a lot of times developers are frustrated by kind of the publisher side producer coming in and sort of dictating things. But in this case, they're not making the same game. Like, it's, yeah, they're different studios. Like,
right.
They're not working on the same entry.
But I mean, in the way that the real world sees this, it is Call of Duty versus Call of Duty.
Right. Well, in the real world, people look at the box and they're like, sweet, Activision. I like the game from Activision. Like, I've seen people do that with Activision.
Do you really think they even get that far? Like, I think they get to Call of Duty and they're like, all right.
Yeah, that's probably
true. I mean, I'm sure that's like, you know that's what's happening here. I mean, with that guy drawing all the comparisons, presumably to Call of Duty 4, because that's what's going to sell that game. Because Call of Duty 4, everyone
million goddamn.
Right, but I mean, and no one really. I mean, people say, "Oh, Call of Duty 4 is great," and then they'll play the new one and maybe say that wasn't as great, but it's still Call of Duty. I'll wait for the next one. So, right. I mean, saying, if you like Call of Duty 4, you'll love this new Call of Duty.
Right.
I mean,
more Calls of Duty.
It may be a Senor Super Douche move, but it's
Senor it's Super Douche. But even better.
What was it actually?
Well, Senior.
Oh, I heard,
Senior Producer.
I heard you say Senor a million times in my mind. I thought it was a far better
thing
than it
was.
That
would be even more amazing.
Anyway, yes. That's his new name.
Senor Douche.
Senor Super Douche.
Senor S. Douche.
But, I mean, in terms of sort of basically hoodwinking people into buying your game.
In Robert Bowling's profile, I think it says he has categories of things I like and things I don't like. And as I recall, things I don't like includes douchebag. A bonus.
Singular?
Yeah. So that was an amusing bit of synergy there. I'm sorry. I interrupted.
I forget what I was saying.
Sorry about that.
It's okay.
Well, so we, in the office, we looked into this guy's background a little bit.
Bowling? Or Heller?
Heller.
Yeah.
And we hired a private eye. We did some digging.
Internet detectives? I've heard of those guys.
Indeed. They can be effective. So he actually started at Activision in early 07, like February, March, I think, timeframe. Yeah. Which is like almost a year before 4 shipped.
Right.
And he works on, you know, the
overall. But presumably 4 was already quite far along.
It was pretty far along. Yeah. Well, yeah.
They've been working on it since 05. So.
But what I'm getting at is that he very possibly contributed to 4, uh-huh. which means he may have worked directly with the Infinity War guys.
Okay. There may be some residual
like bad blood.
And I know that Bowling has been there for longer than that. He's been there for a few years now, so. That would be amusing if that was sort of like long, simmering.
There may be some past tension that's coming to the surface.
Personal bad blood
here.
Explodes on blog.
Yeah. Well, also, Noah Heller was the guy who, this didn't make quite as big a splash, but in a Eurogamer interview, I don't know, a few weeks ago maybe, someone mentioned, he was talking about Call of Duty World at War, and the interviewer at Eurogamer asked something like, have you guys seen what Gearbox is doing with Brothers in Arms? And he's just like, hell no, man. We only look at real games. We don't look at some crappy war game. We look at games like, you know, good games like, and he seriously sat, if you actually watch the actual video, he sat there for about 30 seconds, not being able to think of any game names. He was like,
Halo.
We look at real games like, yeah, and he waited 30 seconds, then he was like, Halo. And
he did?
And Call of Duty 4. Oh, and, cool. I mean, it was like pretty, I mean, I don't know. It was not the most elegant moment for him.
That's cool.
Shitting directly on a competitor publicly.
And then, Treyarch, immediately disavowed this guy.
Right.
They were like,
yeah.
All right, this guy does not speak for us. Like, right. We got nothing but love for Gearbox.
That reminds me, we, on Gamma Sutra, this just coincidentally this week, on Monday, ran an interview with Noah Heller. Just, it was coincidence that we had that scheduled after the weekend when this whole, all this shit was pulled from Heller's ass, allegedly. And, I was about to say shit hit the fan, but since there was already a shit metaphor going on, I figured I'd stick to it.
Yeah, it's weird that phrase, you usually don't actually hear it physically, like, people usually don't pull shit out of their ass. They pull a statement or a
right.
sort of a concept.
Well, the implication is the statement or concept is shit.
I know, but I mean, it just folds back on itself and becomes, it becomes terrible.
He's in fact removing shit from his ass with his hand, possibly. A hand in a glove. Anyway,
we're telling a story.
So anyway, as I was saying, so we run this thing, and actually, he made some statements that we excerpted, that were fairly confrontational, and he talked a lot about how fucking amazing this game is going to be, and swore a lot, and talked about how goddamn incredible everything is, and I think we accidentally referred to him initially as a Treyarch producer. And there were a bunch of not only comments in the stories, but emails sent to us from certain developers who were like, hey, just so you know, he doesn't work for Treyarch. Please fix that. Don't refer to him. Please. he is a different dude. So that, I mean.
Makes you feel bad for that guy.
Yeah, well, he seems to be consistently digging his own grave.
Yeah, he seems to be.
You'd think after going out and doing the Brothers in Arms thing, like, you'd learn to rein it in a bit. But I don't know.
But he's just going all out?
He, man, wants the world to know that his game is kick-ass.
Maybe
it's
it
got
is.
Zombies in it, or vampires, or whatever.
Oh, it's that game.
It's that game.
I don't pay attention to games. I don't play games.
Video games.
Computer games.
Well, this one's out today. You can go play it. You can go to Best Buy, and you can get your bundle of Call of Duty World at War and the DVD copy of Enemy at the Gates. because they're totally selling those as a package at Best Buy.
What a great pair.
Like they printed up little cardboard sleeves that go around the game and the movie.
That's so weird.
Yeah.
What?
Like co-branding. It's bizarre.
Is there any connection that you know of between
they're both about
like
World
the
War
movie
II?
Studio? Well, I mean, it's
just about all I know.
It's sweet. I never even saw that film. Maybe I can do this.
You can kind of cash in on this deal.
I'm the perfect audience for this. I haven't played that game or seen that film. I actually am not super interested in either of them, so maybe I won't.
Do you like Jude Law?
You know.
Do you love him?
I do love him. I don't know if I'd appreciate him as an actor, but I am
but
deeply
as a lover.
Smitten. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
Video games.
Video games.
Man.
So.
Games.
Yeah. That probably exhausts the Noah Heller well.
Yeah.
This week. I think most people probably have discussed that.
I don't know. I mean, if you're looking for any more fun Noah Heller facts... he also
what? He also knew well discovered.
Like I told you, we've done some digging. No, like I guess
okay,
he
well, feel free.
He authored some of the patents for some Microsoft stuff. Like he worked on like the original Xbox Live stuff for the 360. Like
crazy.
Some of the I don't know if it's matchmaking or party system or something like that. But like he's been around.
Dirt.
He's been around behind the scenes doing some stuff for a while. So who knows what's next for this?
Did you scan the patents for like shitting on like PlayStation Network plans or like Wii friend codes? What the fuck is this bullshit?
Looks like Sony doesn't have anything resembling this yet. Approved.
We only use good systems.
Yeah.
We only look to influences like Windows. So. I don't know.
Sweet.
I'm pulling shit out of my ass right now.
You are. It's a horrible sight.
You should be glad this isn't a video podcast. Anyway.
Okay, quick. Name any game other than Call of Duty World of War. Come on, this isn't that hard.
Halo.
Halo? All
right, let's talk about that.
What? No.
No. Well, one thing we can talk about, actually.
It's a good game, though.
What, Halo?
Halo.
Thanks.
Not like that other game.
Not like that other game, that baby game. Crappy war game. Anyway, one thing we keep meaning to talk about every week and we never actually get to is this big, horrible, well, I shouldn't say horrible, the big...
It's beautiful.
Yeah,
large
it's
drum set that Ion released. It's a sort of replica
drum
electronic...
Rocker
it's called the Ion
the
Drum Rocker.
Term
it's,
there.
It's sort of a more vaguely professional version of... The toy video game set that you probably already have in your home.
Yeah, Brad, you were
it's
playing
a pro
that
toy.
What do you think about it?
I didn't touch the drums.
Oh.
Actually, I was playing a real guitar. Actually,
I thought that was.
Whoa!
That's cool.
Yeah, for I, at least for the moment, my number of real guitars and basses outweighs my toy guitars and basses.
Yeah,
outnumbers. Well, certainly outweighs.
Please.
But anyway, but I do have this big ass Ion drum rocker. Crazy $300 Rock Band 2 drum set. Nick also has one.
Yeah, I have it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think about this thing, Nick?
I'm pretty sad.
You're pretty sad?
Yeah.
What's your sadness?
Well, you know, I just thought about it and I was like, you know what? I'll bite.
Yeah.
Because, you know, it's a big expense.
Take a $300 bite.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's like a chomp. You know, as far as peripherals go,
yeah.
You know, you just figure, all right, fuck it. One day one day you wake up and you just want a $300 fucking drum set that you play twice and shove in the corner.
So that's your sadness.
That's my sadness. Yeah.
Okay,
well, that's old.
Yeah. No, it's a good set if you think you're going to use it a whole lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't play games anymore. So
what? Are you,
man,
are
our
you...
podcast is going down a terrible road.
Yeah.
two of our co-hosts here.
But
my cymbals don't work. Your cymbals work, though.
Yeah.
Right? They work fine.
Well, this is what I say about the cymbals. They're fine for individual hits, which is generally what you use cymbals for. But if you're doing really fast, like hi-hat runs, which occur sometimes on some of the harder songs, I generally find it's better to just stick with the actual drum pads rather than the cymbals because they don't seem built to pick up on like really fast repeated hard patterns.
Yeah. No, I have real issues with them. They don't work very well.
That's too bad. Have you tried getting them replaced, the cymbals?
No. No, not yet.
Sweet.
Good, great, good information.
Well, sound investment then.
Yeah.
There are all sorts of forum posts, you know, like, like, you know, symbol tweaking FAQ.
Oh, really?
Should you really have to tweak something that
was sort of my
$300 on?
Exactly. See, that was my impression,
this is the problem, though.
Yeah.
This is much closer in build and design to an actual, like, real electronic drum set than it is to a rock, like a regular Rock Band drum set.
Yeah.
The reality is $300 for an electronic drum set is
pretty cheap.
Dirt cheap. I don't even know if you could really find one for that cheap ordinarily. They don't even generally start until $500, $700. I mean, you'd spend $1,000 or upwards if you were going to get a decent one. So that's kind of the problem when you start getting into the realm of real musical instruments, which are, at the end of the day, really fucking expensive if you want a decent one.
Isn't this thing built in a way so that the sort of control module thing in the middle of it can be swapped out?
Yeah. Actually, one cool thing about this set is that all the pads output to a standard quarter inch, you know, music output thing. So you could just actually, if you wanted to, just buy an actual drum synthesizer module like you would for any other electronic drum set and use this thing directly output to MIDI or output to audio or whatever and use it as an actual electronic drum set. I think probably one of the best things you can do with this thing is use it as kind of a stepping stone up to that. Mm-hmm. If you actually think you genuinely would be interested in learning how to play drums, or if you do, like in my case, I already play the drums. And so this is kind of a cool thing to have. I live in an apartment. I can't have a real drum set. So, you know, at some point, if I want to just spend a couple $100, pick up a decent synth module, I would have a way to record some basic drum tracks if I on my computer or for a song or whatever. So, I mean, that's kind of the, you know, for a thing.
Yeah.
That's kind of like one of the, I think, selling points of this, but that I don't know how big the audience.
That's how I justified it to myself, but really I just wanted to play Rock Band without missing every fucking eighth note.
Yeah.
It's worth saying that drum set.
I mean, it lives up to that, though,
yes.
At least in my opinion.
Yeah, no, like, it is a perfect, you know, for the four pads.
Right, the four pads.
Actually, the other thing I was disappointed in was the bass pedal.
Oh, really? I like the bass pedal.
It's clanky.
Oh, you mean just in terms of real-world noise?
Yeah.
How loud is this thing since you talk about playing in an apartment?
Pads are super quiet.
That was my other primary motivation. Yeah, getting something that I could play without pissing off my neighbor.
There's none of that tap, 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 tack, tack, tack crap you get with the Rock Band sets.
But you said your downstairs neighbor was bitching at you because of the bass pedal?
If you're slamming on the floor with your foot, I don't know how much you're going to do to dampen that. I imagine there'd be something you could do. Just if you were willing to put in some kind of foam material or something in between.
Well, what you can do is you can take your old Rock Band bass pedal and use that. Just buy like a cheap adapter at Radio Shack for like 99 cents if you know.
And that's probably the most reliable component of that.
Yeah. That's the best. So it works fine.
But I would say, the pads are fantastic. I mean, if you actually, I don't know if I could ever recommend whether or not someone should spend $300 on this, but if if you've decided that would be a thing you'd be willing to do and you actually play this game, especially if you have people coming over a lot to play and you'd consider making that investment anyway, then you should know the pads are pretty goddamn good. And even if you don't use the cymbals, the pads alone are a massive step up from the regular Rock Band ones. But even the cymbals are fine as long as you're not
Nick.
As long as you're not using them for insane shit, or I guess unless you get a dud set like Nick did, but
a lot of people have problems.
That's
with
too
those.
Bad. Hopefully, yeah. I don't know
it's kind of
what
the case
Ion's
with all instrument peripherals.
I don't know if Ion has a replacement program or anything.
I haven't looked into it yet.
Yeah,
we'll find out next week.
Yeah, we probably not.
Oh yeah,
we may completely forget about any promises to do anything the following week.
Yeah. Speaking of which, thank you, no one, for your contest ideas.
Yeah, we still have a whole actually, every week it's growing. The stack of games that we have here to give away. I think since we last mentioned it, it has gained the Quantum of Solace game. That might not be the most enticing.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you want to lead off with that one.
Yeah,
we have that game now.
I don't know. I don't know which ones are new because we rearranged the order. But Namco Museum, Spider-Man Web of Shadows.
There might be a new Spider-Man.
You're not
a new Spider-Man. Better. Yeah. Well, I mean, there is some good stuff in here.
K9.
Bioshock PS3, World in Conflict,
Midnight
that's good.
Club.
Pure, I think that might be a good game from what I've heard.
Pure is pretty good.
Yeah, Eternal Sonata, I think some people like that.
Yeah, Dead Space, I think.
Dead Space is good. Rock Band 2 is good. So, yeah, there's some good stuff. We still don't know how to give it away. If anyone has any ideas for how to give this shit away, you can send us an email to questions@idlethumbs.net or just send us your questions or comments. And we'll answer those.
On a podcast.
On a podcast.
Yeah.
So what has anyone been playing here? Any wacky, amazing crap?
Because I know at least one of you has also been playing it. I finished Far Cry 2 last week.
Oh, nice. What are your closing impressions?
It was good. It was good. It,
yeah.
What finally, are your closing impressions?
Thanks, eventually, ass.
Eventually, I grudgingly admitted that it's pretty good.
Yeah. Okay. Did you go through like a curve?
Yes. It was like the seven stages of whatever. It was like anger.
Seven stages of whatever.
Like 1 through 6 were anger.
Yeah, like maybe, it was a really weird.
Number 4 was frustration.
What was the root of your anger?
You hated it.
Was it money?
Yeah, fuck that game.
I heard that money is the root of your anger.
Money, actually, I never found to be an issue. Yeah. Every mission pays out so well. Like, I never felt like I couldn't buy all the weapons that I wanted.
Yeah,
it was a combination of the traveling, like the nonstop traveling you have to do. Why are you pointing at my microphone? Were you pointing at my lap?
What?
I couldn't tell.
No, it was that noise.
Have you guys all been playing it, or I know you have?
I'm hating it.
So, I mean, yeah, like, so yeah. You know that you have to drive every damn
not
place
playing,
you go,
really.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, other than the slightly ineffectual bus system, it's just like, you want to go somewhere, you got to drive there. Sometimes it takes like 10 minutes of solid driving, notwithstanding the fact that you get attacked every 30 fucking seconds that you're on the road. So, like, it was the constant stop and go and of having to drive all over the place, but having to stop and get out of my Jeep every 2 minutes and kill dudes. It just felt kind of laborious for a while. But,
but what brought you around?
Yeah, what changed
basically,
your mind?
Basically, like, unlocking a lot more weapons, trying a lot more tactics, like finding more efficient ways to kill people, basically. Like,
right.
It kind of made it less of a chore to have to do that stuff. So.
Yeah.
So as you became more awesome, the game became more awesome.
Yeah, I guess you could say that.
That seems to be something that... I mean,
maybe they should have done the Metroid beginning where you start out awesome.
We have a word for that. We at Giant Bomb have coined a word I'm very proud of.
Oh, really?
We call that that Metroid phenomenon. We call it an abilities.
An abilities.
Oh,
very nice.
Yeah.
Very clever.
You start out with all your abilities and they tease you with them real nice. You get to kill a few dudes.
Yeah, dude, we got it.
And they all. Just making sure here.
Brad looks chastened. After Jake's zinger there.
I told you I was proud.
Yeah.
That's a good thing to have a name for. Yeah. Now we, what?
No, it is.
It's good.
It is.
Everyone
knows
it's
called
it
the
Metroid
thing.
So now we have it. Now there's a
Now we're going to steal that.
Sure. Go ahead. I don't think it would really fit into the Far Cry story, though, because you're kind of fresh on the ground and trying to figure out what's going on.
Or are you? Maybe if you had, like, amnesia at the beginning or something?
I'm sure that, you know...
In fact, part of
it's
what
a
I...
video game.
Part of what I really
like
about the
beginning...
Like,
you get shot on a boat or something and wash up on shore.
Right. Yeah.
Part of what I really liked at the beginning, and I know some people didn't, but I really like that you started out, like, completely useless and, like, fucking keeling over from malaria and, like, getting killed in a hotel that you can't escape from and... I don't know. I liked that it right from the beginning was like, you're in this horrible country where everything is gone wrong. Like, it's a failed state. You're fucked.
It was the anti-abilities.
Yeah, the anti-abilities. Yeah. It was just fucking a tease. It was just, you suck. So I don't know. I like that. I thought it was a little sort of ballsy on the part of the designers to do that.
But it made a lot of people hate the game.
Yeah, I mean, you know what? Like,
that is the issue.
I don't mind being flung into these adverse circumstances if they don't result in constant game over screens.
Yeah.
But they do. Yeah, like for a while, yeah. I mean, there's all kinds of just whack-ass situations. Some dude will come roaring out of the brush in a Jeep and run you over. And you're dead. And you are dead. And that's it. And
little did you know, you were actually playing the multiplayer Far Cry.
That's how you access that.
It's funny. I didn't.
Why
have,
are they taunting me?
I mean, this is probably the kind of game where, just due to its nature, like due to its very nature, people probably are going to have different experiences with it just by matter of circumstance. Like, I haven't really had a lot of game over screens, and sometimes when I would say about 80 or 90% of the times that I die, I'm rescued by my buddy. So I haven't had trouble
making friends.
Sensitive issue for me.
So I haven't had. I guess I've lucked out a little bit in that respect. But I can definitely relate to going through periods where I've gotten, you know, very frustrated by sort of, oh my god, I've got to get to the opposite corner of this map. Like, Jesus Christ, I get on the bus and then I've got to. If there's no car there, then I'm. God damn it. I've definitely had moments like that. But I find like the overall design of the game so fascinating. Like, it's such a weird game. I don't think I've ever played. I mean, Stalker is maybe the closest comparison, but I, there are really not very many games I've played that are like this. And just the sort of like focus and sort of purity almost of the design is fascinating. Like, it means that there isn't a lot of room for the development team to sort of deliberately put in a lot of like cool moments that they know will happen that will make you be like, oh man, that was rad. But I really like how much it sticks to its guns.
And we're talking about Far Cry.
Yeah.
Two.
Again.
Oh yeah, we're still sorry for the millionth fucking week in a row talking about this.
Yeah.
Well, we will give you a copy of BioShock PS3 if you make us a mix of all times that we've talked about Far Cry.
Yeah. 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 Well, Nick, you were hating it, right?
Yeah.
What?
I haven't hated it anymore. I'm at the same stage of hating.
Stopped.
Yeah.
Oh,
you? No, just, I haven't had a chance to play it anymore.
Fair enough.
Whatever.
Yeah. Played Left 4 Dead demo a bit.
Yeah, I played that a bit.
So have they fixed that yet?
In what way?
Well, I mean,
you know, the shitty part. No, I don't know.
Well, I mean, by all accounts, there was a definite shitty part when it came out.
I haven't actually played it.
Wait, Left 4 Dead?
Yeah, like all the matchmaking and like dedicated server stuff.
I don't know.
Oh, well, I mean,
am I the only one that saw all this? Like,
well, I know.
I saw a lot of complaints that there was there wasn't a server browser, that there was bought a server.
You can
there's
go
no
into
way
a server browser through the console, but
yeah, I think they're probably going to open that up for the full release. I mean, they were. You know, one of the reasons for doing an early demo, at least from what they said, was that you know, they're going to look at feedback and sort of respond to that.
Sure.
That said, why are they letting people who pre-ordered it play it early? What the fuck?
Well, it's out now for everyone, so
yeah,
I know people were bitching.
Well, whatever. I don't know. It made me pre-order it, like right.
Yeah, I mean, it made me pre-order it and then not play it, and I will hopefully find out how many people are like me in the next published Steam statistics.
I played it, and then it's again one of those things where, I mean, we kind of talked about this last week with Little Big Planet and voice chat, but like, God, it really just, voice chat blows if you're not playing with people that you, well, I mean, if you're not playing with people that you are lucky enough to get that are sort of cool people.
I was thinking about this when I was playing, actually, because we were talking about Little Big Planet and stuff, and because I got into a server where nobody was talking, and I was like, this is fantastic, like, people are helping each other, and then I had the total, you know, opposite thing where I joined and the guy was like,
this fucking douche, senior douchebag is just not pulling his weight.
Then the first one I joined had a dude where his goddamn thing was turned up so loud that I heard the loading screen music coming through his thing in addition to online.
Oh, he's about to join.
And like, it's not synced up, of course, so it's just the horrible cacophony and like the guy's chomping away on some food or something and just like, oh my God, this is horrible. Oh, and two of the guys have mics and then the other two of us don't. So it's just those guys.
Were those guys like having a conversation?
Oh, and it's just.
Were they ignoring your text?
I wasn't typing.
You know, the other problem with this game is it's one of those games where somebody wants to be the definite leader. So there's always one guy who's like, guys, follow me.
There's always
guys, go down the ladder. Just like, shoot, hit the left.
Dude's like military role playing.
Yeah, exactly. Like, flank left.
Form up on me.
dots, more dots.
That accurately simulates the dynamics of all zombie movies, though.
Right,
where there's
true.
That one douchebag. It's like, who put you in charge? I think I'm the person who's the best equipped in this scenario. Shut the fuck up. Like, that guy should just die first, as a rule.
Yeah.
Whoever has the most mic use and the loudest should just get their health slowly decreased.
Yeah. I am actually
glow more.
That would be amazing actually if you could actually do that.
This guy is a bigger douche than everyone else.
So I've only played Left 4 Dead in like a LAN setting where dudes are next to you and yell at them, but does it strike you as the kind of game where you're going to need voice chat to coordinate and actually be successful, or do you think you can get away without it?
Oh man.
Yeah, I mean, I think it is the kind of thing where it'll benefit heavily from voice chat, but I mean, like almost anything, really exponentially more so if you're actually playing with people who are cool or that you know. Yeah, it's I even just in my brief demo experiences, I've only played the demo for a couple hours, but like you, the vast majority of my experience with this has been in a LAN setting with actual people right there who you're accountable to by not just yelling obscenities all the time. And so, you know, the difference is enormous. I mean, it really makes the game less fun for me to be in there with people who are just spouting off or not being communicative or just being assholes. It's like, it's just not, I don't know. A game like that is so heavily team-based in like a really necessary way. You can't be just like a renegade. I actually tried I loaded up the single player thing and just sat there for like, it took me about 5 minutes to kill all my AI buddies. it's really fucking hard because they're healing each other.
Yeah.
Like while you're doing that, they're like, oh man, he's down. I'm sitting there pumping shotgun rounds into their heads. It took me forever and I finally killed them. And then it was actually kind of fun trying to, like, I survived past, I don't know, like past a checkpoint or so. It was pretty fun. But then, you know, eventually you just get fucking owned because it's designed for four people. But it was sort of a fun exercise. It would be interesting if they released or if someone modded it to allow you to attempt, you know, a single player run.
They left one dead.
Because I think an impossible experience without just, even if it was fucking ridiculously hard, if I didn't have to listen to three other idiots fucking spouting racist bullshit, like that might still be preferable. Yeah. So,
Well, you can always turn chat off. And I've had pretty good luck with you know, just
that's
Steam.
I had terrible luck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just Steam in general. I don't know.
It's the luck of the draw.
Yeah.
You know.
It's the luck of the draw.
Yep. Are you just going to sass me?
I'm sassing you.
All right, we should take a break.
Yeah, let's take a break.
Video game.
I think I may have gotten it, but thrown it away.
Zune?
What, you threw away Zune?
I'm a little suspicious, yeah. I don't know what happened to it.
Was it a pink
Zune? I did one of those things
you're
where I opened it up.
Yourself?
Yeah, yeah, because I opened it up and I was like, oh, okay, a bunch of crap. And then
brown?
I threw the box away without,
was it
like,
a brown Zune?
I don't know.
I think it is, actually.
That's what I got rid of the rest. They're like, they're surplus.
Right. Yeah, they just spray painted it.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you remember that thing where like one out of every 50 Zunes of that era was a pink Zune?
No, what?
It's like the original Zune.
What, accidentally?
No, like it was like a Jay Allard special. Like a... like the
Allard.
Sweet pink Zune. So it wasn't like, dude, it was like, it was not labeled, or there was a tiny, like the serial number on the box was different, but there was no other way of
was
knowing.
It actually an Allard edition? Because that would be amazing.
Can we just talk about Allard?
Yeah, let's talk about Jay Allard.
Okay.
Man, did you guys play Space Giraffe?
No, but no. Soon as I saw that he had a level in there, I was
Eyes
of Allard.
It was actually made me want to buy that game. That's the first level.
Yeah, I played that level for like 5 minutes before I know, because it's so subtle. It's like this very subtle emboss of Jay Allard's face in the level, and I seriously sat there playing it forever going, I just thought the Eyes of Allard was a hilarious level name.
Right, but he's
like, oh,
and
Jay,
then you're like, why does it feel like I'm being watched?
Yeah. Oh my God, it's Jay Allard.
Eyes of Allard.
The eyes. Yeah. Yeah. That was probably maybe the best part of that game.
I kind of enjoyed the giraffe.
It was everything better.
It was a giraffe.
It was kind of enjoyable, but it was definitely Jeff Minter like sliding further into dementia.
Into himself.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I still really like the early screenshots of that game. They were.
I know, with like.
Or just an otter spunk. Yeah. Actually, did you guys, when you were at GameSpot, do you remember that? I remember Jeff Minter said that he put all sorts of weird profanity, like hiding in all of his screenshots, so that sites like GameSpot would not post in-development screenshots, so that it would only post final shots instead of lifting them off his blog.
Well, I don't think you guys put them up. I remember, because I thought that was so hilarious, I went to like IGN and GameSpot, and those screens were not posted, as I recall.
Weirdly,
GameSpot would not publish the words otter spunk on their website.
Well, there were others that were more profane than
that. I know,
that
was just the funny one.
Yeah, that was the funniest one, yeah. So speaking of...
otter spunk.
Of otter spunk, let me tell you a story. Now, speaking of the Xbox, Brad was going to talk about the NXE.
I was. I was.
Yeah, okay.
Well, now that you mention it.
Yeah, I've been messing with the
is that a new Xbox experience?
It is.
Oh. I'm actually amazed how fully the internet is buying into that acronym.
Yeah, right.
It's marketing genius.
Yeah, it really is.
How have they attached this stupid nonsensical acronym to this free update?
Yeah,
that
made me think that there was Allard involvement, but there's not.
Yeah.
It's weird how far they're taking that thing. Like, I went to like that new site, Video Gaming 24. Is it Video Gaming 24/7 or just Video Game 24/7?
Something like that. I think it's
a Eurogamer offshoot.
Video Games. Yeah, it is a Eurogamer. Yeah.
But I went to it today, and they had a site skin for the NXE.
Jesus.
Like Microsoft.
I've seen a lot of like full
on ad campaigns.
Microsoft announced that
a lot of television commercials for that.
Yeah, they said that they're spending more on this than they ever have on an Xbox related advertising campaign.
Yeah, that's so
which
weird.
Is crazy to me. Yeah. I don't know. Like
they're advertising this thing
cool.
that they are
it's
pushing
like,
out for free.
Sweet, the fall update.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess also it's like the most important initiative. Why? Like, what?
Well, I mean, they're
avatars.
On what other system?
They're really hoping
to see such avatars.
Well, with Xbox 360 is now cheaper. Christmas is coming up, and they're probably going to see a surge in gold subscriptions after this as well. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. It's just, it's interesting. It's just, you know, I mean, why not do this, I guess? It's not like I'm holding against them, but it's definitely like such a manufactured relaunch where it's, you know, it's like we've created just this reason essentially to pretend we're launching like a brand new system.
I guess, but I mean, I like just that, like XBLA and Xbox Originals and all the other DLC that they've had on the service is cool, but I think it's been, with the exception of like people who have managed to find that there's PopCap on there, I think it is, it's more hardcore, the audience that's doing that. And I like that Microsoft is now putting a huge amount of effort behind, Xbox 360 is like the downloadable console. Like for a long time, like I guess it was the Allard stick was the HD era, but with the Xbox 360 is like high def. And I'm glad that the new way they're pushing the 360 is this is the console that just has all the cool online crap.
It's funny that you bring that up. That actually kind of, and I don't mean to just shit on the PS3 here. I really don't, but like bringing that up,
but you're going to,
well, I was just going to say like, The Xbox 360 does really have that strong identity to it. You know what I mean? Like, it's a different angle, the one you described, but it definitely always has that sense of, like, it's the online one. And you can, you know, like, have all that online stuff. And the Wii is definitely, more than any of them, has its strong stake cut out for it. It's still hard for me to really pinpoint what exactly the PS3, like, what its hook is in terms of someone who's looking at them and trying to get it.
Blu-ray.
Well, yeah, that's true. Yeah, I guess
but
it is.
I mean, in terms of its
But as a gaming device, though, like, as a platform... Like,
I mean, you can tell that Sony also has trouble with that. I mean, the ads...
Yeah, their ads are just
They've always been insane. And, like, but the PS3 ads are just the most completely incomprehensible, insane things ever. I don't... Just... We have a PlayStation 3 here. That's pretty much all we can say in this ad, so we're going to show this crazy, weird, like, spray-painted person, like, or something. I don't know.
I mean, that's a good point. I guess the PlayStation 1 and 2 were ubiquitous and successful enough that they never had to carve that out. It literally was. This is the device that is your device for everything. Well, like, it's your gaming thing.
To be fair, the PS1 and 2 were both built on third-party exclusives, you know?
Yeah.
Like, Sony's never had Sony's never really had to build their own brand identity very strongly because they always had, like,
the Final Fantasy system that has FF and GTA.
And the Metal Gears. Right. Yeah, I mean, so they've kind of brought this lack of identity on themselves to an extent. Yeah. You know, like, they're still maintaining this kind of laissez-faire
attitude.
When
Crash Bandicoot died.
They've got this laissez-faire attitude to, like, online stuff, you know? It's like, anything goes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you could plug your USB device in. Why not, you know? But who knows how it's going to function, you know?
Well, even
it's an iPod? Maybe we can play that
somewhere in the world.
I don't know. I'm just saying, it's you know, I'm getting way off topic. You should talk about new Xbox experience.
Yeah.
So what do you think about it?
I have become experienced in the new Xbox experience.
Have they run the Hendrix song like in any of their ads or anything?
What's that?
Have they run the Hendrix song in any of their ads or anything? I could see them doing that.
God, man, it has the dumbest like intro video though when you first install it.
I saw that.
Oh, God, he's got an intro video.
It's like a 2-minute long like CG animation with this upbeat, you know, I'm trying to figure out where they store that. It's like, I downloaded this giant HD video. Cause like, you know, they've been complaining about how they were like, well, you need 128 meg of space to hold this update.
Right,
and it's like, if you don't have a hard drive with a console with a hard drive, like, you got a problem.
If maybe that's 120.
Like,
that would be awesome if that was like the whole requirement.
Streaming. Do you think it's streaming?
I don't think so.
There's no way.
It runs too smoothly and it plays.
If it's HD, like, have you bought any HD video content off of the...
No.
And it also takes
fucking forever.
It also plays the moment the console boots. It's like, you get the boot animation like straight into the...
And I guess
the...
even if it was streaming, it would still have to cache it somewhere. So.
Yeah. So, yeah.
But how was
that?
Would
be amazing if the storage requirements and that whole, like, get cheap hard drives stuff all came out because, like, the UI team or the marketing team was like, we gotta have this 1080 video at the beginning. It's gotta be 2 minutes. Nope. Gotta be stereo.
5.1.
Yeah.
So, I mean,
it communicates the vision to the consumer.
Like, baffled from moment one when I saw this thing. But, about minute, like, 2.5 or so, I was on board with this thing. Like,
oh, really? Okay.
It pretty quickly makes its own case, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, I jumped into Marketplace and I was like, oh, that's a game I'm interested in. And I go to it and it's like, all right, here's a page of everything you can buy for this game. Here's all the themes and gamer picks.
You don't have to wait 5 minutes for it to scroll.
Yeah, it's all instant.
The worst.
It's all laid out pretty intelligently. It's like, all right, here's the page of like all the features this game supports.
Yeah, that's really good.
Like here's some screenshots and videos if you want to see those. I mean, like the information is laid out very intelligently. It's got some downsides. Like the friends list is complete shit.
Really?
It's, like, totally useless. I mean,
oh, it's that avatar-based thing?
Yeah, yeah. Like, God, I'm talking about, that. Like, friends as a section on your kind of main menu. Like, yeah. You're never going to use
how
it.
How is this set up?
Like, it, basically, you can see, like, one avatar at a time with two more kind of overlapping
God, that's so
in the
irritating.
Background.
Is there no option to just use
well,
the standard?
Well, so, like, you remember when they made like the comments a few months ago?
List.
Remember a few months ago, they were like, oh, you can still use all the blade stuff. It's in there. Like... It's kind of in there.
Yeah.
And the way it's kind of in there.
Secret blade.
That was actually
So you can hit the guide button like anywhere, even at the main menu, and it pops up like kind of a mini blade interface in the middle.
Mini blade.
Oh, yeah. And that's, I'm copywriting that term, by the way, but like, so that's where you get to the actual friends list. Like,
abilities, yeah, mini blade.
Mini blade.
So it's in there, but you have to go through this extra menu layer to it.
That was actually my biggest, like, my actual single biggest. Expectation of annoyance when I saw I had a demo of this during I guess it was E3 and I really thought the friends list stuff looked clunky and clumsy as hell and I was really concerned and I guess
get ready for it to be the first thing to be patched out then.
I hope so. Yeah.
That friends list is basically there to look at other people's avatars. No, that's all it's
like,
for.
No, after a week, who cares about that?
Although I mean, I'll confess,
you can look at all the Hitlers.
I sat there for a good 20 minutes Allards. This weekend and like made an avatar.
Oh yeah, there you
kind of looks like me.
But I mean, at a certain point, you're just going to want to see fucking 20 friends at a time.
Yeah,
like,
you know. Well, that's what the
after the novelty
wears off. The
mini blade.
Yeah. Yes.
What do you think about it, Nick?
I haven't screwed around with it.
Oh.
How does it sound to you?
How does it sound?
Speaking of how it sounds.
Like, but you saw the...
Oh, no.
I don't know. I thought you had it. Okay.
Speaking of how it sounds.
When you make your avatar, it is the most blatant rip from the Wii. Like, there's this, like, vaguely...
On
sort
what
of
other system?
Jingly, the like, music. Slightly musical yeah. sounding. Like
a supermarket.
Like, you know what it sounds like when a Wii idles, right?
Right. Yeah.
It's that.
Yeah.
Like, when you're making your avatar, like, you pull up the avatar, like, customization screen, and that just, like, kicks in.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, man. And, like, instantly your head is in your hand.
Right. So, dudes are posting 8 million pictures of a dude facepalming on the internet.
Yeah, pretty much.
What is the Netflix streaming like?
Netflix is awesome. Like, it's... Well, I mean, it's not perfect. Like, you still have to go on to your PC to set up your queue.
Yeah, that's just like... I have that... Like,
so, I mean, I guess that's... Is that,
I
that's
have that Roku,
to,
like, Netflix streaming box thing, and it's the same way.
It's common to, I guess, all the Netflix streaming options.
And it's because they want you to use their website.
Right.
Right.
But other than that, it's phenomenal. I mean, you add something to your queue, and if you're idling on the Netflix screen on the Xbox, like, it will appear in about 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And then it plays. I mean, that's about all there is to it.
I look forward to it. This is what, like, next Thursday or something?
Yeah. The 19th.
The one downside of the Netflix stuff is that all the content still is SD, which is a bummer to me.
Not all of it. There is a...
Really?
Yeah, they're doing HD. The Xbox... Sorry, Mr. Roku owner, but the Xbox is the... I guess the first and so far only device that'll do HD streaming.
I actually moved the Roku box upstairs just because I know that in a couple of weeks my 360 will. Apparently now,
you'll totally be the
streaming high def content.
I pulled up the Comedians of Comedy, so Patton Oswalt. Stand-up comedy video.
And that was HD?
That was in HD, of all the things.
I'm glad they're allocating their effort properly.
Like, it's a bummer they don't specify on their website what is HD, so it's a crapshoot.
Oh, they really don't?
Yeah, they don't. At least not so far.
It's like the Ping Zoom.
Maybe they'll add that. I mean, this is a new feature. But yeah, like, that was the first thing I found that was HD, and I was like, all right, cool. And, like, the buffering time is pretty acceptable.
I'm sure it's
even for HD,
what it is on the computer, basically.
It's like a computer.
Yeah.
Well, if you fucking are going to have this on your 360, you've used it. I mean,
you want it to be like
it's
a computer.
Only going
to
be a bit. You're Mr. Snarky today.
I'm Mr. Snarky today.
God damn you.
I'm sorry.
All right.
Yeah. I'm looking NXE. Forward to experiencing my new Xbox experience.
Yeah. Well, one thing that's coming out tomorrow that I think...
But wait a minute. Well, Brad was talking... No. Brad was talking about the timing of this release.
Oh, dude, I don't
which
know,
I thought
man.
Was interesting.
These rumors are entirely unsubstantiated.
So you're talking about an internet
rumor? Yeah, but it's interesting nonetheless.
I saw him like on my way out of the office tonight, but I guess there's this filthy rumor going around that the release of this thing is pretty strategically timed right around when most people's launch... Xbox warranties, like the 3-year warranty is going to run out.
Yeah.
Because, like, there is this, like, quiet, unfortunate history of Xbox updates breaking Xboxes. Like, I've had it happen. I know other people that have had it happen. Like, you slap a new update on there, which is mandatory.
It's getting to the point where I don't know anybody with an original launch box.
Yeah.
It's pretty sad. So, I actually, my launch box has two red rings. If anybody knows what that means or how I can get a free machine, please send it into questions because I have no idea. what the hell
their
that
website
means.
Doesn't say. Or?
No, I can't get it. They've said I can't get a warranty on that, but it definitely it operates just like a three ring thing. Like it just,
what, seriously? You
yeah,
think it's fucked?
Yeah, more or less. It's totally broken, but it doesn't fall under their specific warranty because it's only two. So if anybody can tell me how to make it three, yeah, like
Photoshop will aid you.
Yeah, for a while I was trying to scheme.
Can you put it
like,
in your microwave put it in an oven for a few minutes. Heat it
I
up,
considered it. Yeah,
get that solder to melt or whatever happens on the Red Ring one.
So yeah. So if they knew about the mammoth quality assurance issues with this console before it went out the door, why did they go with the least intuitive error code system?
I know. Yeah. But I did. I heard from fairly reliable sources that they were aware, like they were really like in the days before release, they were trying to get that shit fixed, and it like they had the release date set. You know, that's what you know,
so. I would hope to God that it's not actually a strategic move to fuck people over.
It seems crazy that on fixed hardware, software, like
I have no idea. I mean, it happened to me like it was 2 years ago. Like the fall update came out, yeah. It had worked fine.
No, I remember hearing stuff about that.
And
yeah,
like,
I
mean, like within hours of putting that update on, it started freezing up in games, and like the next day it red ringed.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm not the only one I know that's had something like that happen, so like who the hell knows what's going on?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well,
yeah, I'm sure whoever actually worked on the new Xbox experience, if that is remotely true, which I hope it's not, and kind of doubt, but if it is, those people must be the most bummed software engineers in the world.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Management decided to wait until right after launch warranties or whatever. Like,
yeah.
I know a guy at a small software house who actually worked on a component of the NXE.
Oh yeah.
And he's not at Microsoft. Like they didn't do the whole thing in house.
Yeah.
Like they farmed some components out to other third parties. So who knows?
Yep.
But I'm excited about it. I want my Xbox to be new.
You want your new one?
I want that new one.
Sweet.
Now,
ironically, people may be truly experiencing the new Xbox experience after installing the new Xbox experience. Yeah.
And apparently they're not shipping coffins out anymore, I just heard.
Mm. Oh, really?
Yeah. Like,
so what are they like you got to box it up yourself?
You box it and ship it now.
Nice.
We fixed too many. So. We ran out.
Like, we used all the cardboard
in
North
America.
Boxes.
Yeah.
It's like the carpool access stickers for hybrids.
The what?
You know, like when hybrid cars sort of first started coming around in California, they all had the like, even if there's just one of you in this car.
Oh, right.
But then they just ran out of stickers and just stopped giving them out.
Yeah. Too many, you got in on the first wave. You're good, yeah. But yeah.
That's about video games right there.
Video games.
That's a computer game.
Computer games? Well, speaking of computer games, what?
No,
are you gonna give me some more shit?
No, I want to know what computer games have to do with anything we've been talking about.
Well, Microsoft. This is clearly much less on the public consciousness here, but Microsoft
new games for Windows experience.
Yeah, this week Microsoft is releasing
the
NGFWE.
Yeah, exactly. They're doing it a week before the Xbox One, presumably because there's also no warranty issues.
Right, yeah, yeah, exactly.
With PCs that might...
that would be amazing.
Yeah.
The new GFWE...
L.
You know.
Yeah, there should be an L somewhere.
What, blue screens.
GFWLX.
E.
What's the E for?
It's a second experience. experience.
Sweet.
Shut up.
So anyway, there are... I think probably most people who would be listening to this who have used Games for Windows Live recently would have been in Fallout 3. That's how I have been experiencing it. It's, you know, it's not, there's no multiplayer obviously in that game, but it does allow you to go on and see your friends list and communicate with people who are playing 360 games. And just send messages, do all that same stuff. They're releasing a new version of it that will, you know, retroactively affect other, you know, any game that's used Game for Windows Live, if you theoretically play Shadowrun, or theoretically if you play Halo 2 PC for some reason, you will.
if you're that guy, yeah.
I will say that I really do. I'm not. I like that it's there in Fallout 3. I really like having access to all that stuff. I think it's actually really cool. And you know, kind of why not? I don't know. You have all your achievements. You got all your buddies. You can see who's online. But the interface is terrible. Like, it's so clearly just like a shitty, lazy console port that is awful. And they really went back and actually like redesigned it in a really PC specific, clean way that really only has the slightest resemblance to the old incarnation.
How much does it resemble Steam?
Yeah, that's what's funny. There, in addition to the in-game thing doesn't resemble Steam at all.
No.
At whatsoever, but they are coming out with, on the same day,
Steam.
You can go to Microsoft Steam.
Yeah.
It's the successor to Microsoft Bob. On the same day.
He's a jerk.
Yeah, I hate that guy. You can go to gamesforwindows.com and actually get a standalone client. So one of the weird things about this is there wasn't a standalone client. Like, you could only access this stuff through a Games for Windows enabled game. So now you can go get a standalone client. It'll have like a little front loading thing with a marketplace for DLC. I don't know if there actually will be any DLC on launch day, but you know, it will be set up that published, like Bethesda's Fallout 3 DLC will come through that.
Right.
For example. And, you know, show you like other games that use the service and all that stuff. And it really is a lot like Steam. Like, you go to a game page and it's got all the info, and it's sort of the more kind of blue, light blue kind of Windowsy look.
Right. Yes,
you know, it's but not dissimilar.
It's weird that they launched the service without that functionality, because that's the sort of stuff that will make people actually realize that it exists.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's the kind of thing where, like, now that Valve has done all that stuff, it's like, it seems like almost a no-brainer. You'd think, since Microsoft does it all on 360,
right,
they would have...
Yeah, I mean, you get the feeling from what Valve said that they really didn't think about it in that way when they did it, but the fact that they made everyone who played Valve's games go through that launcher...
Right.
Like, that was it.
Yeah, that exactly.
It seems like, I don't know.
Yeah.
When GFW launched at the beginning, it seems like that would have been the first piece that they took...
Right. Well, they do that on 360.
Yeah, right. That's what I mean. Like, I mean, the 360 does it, and Steam does it.
Yeah.
And sort of cutting out that home screen element is
right.
Is funky.
Yeah. But
who knows?
You know, I mean, at this point, really,
maybe developers
weren't
into it when they started it,
Or they just didn't think about it. Maybe, but I mean,
yeah, they
you know,
just
it just seems like a weird thing to not think about.
Yeah. Well, it was like there were. I mean, much more fundamental was just how shittily it was designed on the PC. Like,
mm-hmm.
I mean, Nick. Are you playing? Did you play Fallout 3 on the PC?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you used the GFW Live stuff?
Yeah.
I mean, did it seem to you like the buttons didn't even work properly?
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
I know
the mouse
mean.
Didn't even interact with them well. Like,
yeah.
It was so clearly.
It was just very sticky.
It's like reprogrammed from a console based. In fact, even right now, like, they finally. I can't even believe this wasn't changed originally, but on how it is currently, if you're using a mouse and you have no controller in there, it still has the little 360 like A and B button icons.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Like, it's pretty bad. And now it's great. If you plug in a console, it'll in real time.
Yeah, just automatically
instantly
switch.
Plug in a controller. It'll instantly switch the icons to be the controller ones. And if you unplug the controller, it'll switch them back to be mouse and keyboard style stuff. So that's really cool. And actually had some forethought to it. So.
Yeah. The thing I liked about it was it just seemed really lightweight and just sort of, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Very
much,
clean.
Yeah, much more of a minimal approach.
Yeah.
Which is what they needed.
Right.
Yeah. Like Steam.
And this
yes.
Just, yeah, exactly. Like Steam. And this is just.
But really, actually, you know, from a design standpoint, it is a bit more colorful and more attractive than Steam in a way.
It
trumps Steam, in, you know,
yeah.
In that respect.
I mean, there's no full game digital distribution, which is probably still the most appealing thing about Steam. Like, just having that launch pad for all that stuff. And you can, I mean, it's
interesting. But you're ready for it in a couple years, we'll get GFW originals.
Well, I'm sure they will. But I mean, you know, even right now, like, I bought Fallout 3 through Steam. So I launch Fallout 3 from Steam and then activate Games for Windows stuff. And Microsoft's, I mean, why not? Like, there's no reason not to.
I know, it's
like,
weird.
Yeah, it is kind of weird. But I mean, Microsoft has actually worked, I guess, with, like, Stardock, for example, that runs Impulse, which is a Steam competitor. Like, they've actually worked with them to make sure that if you launch a game from Impulse, you can still run Games for Windows stuff. So, I mean, Microsoft, I think after owning Windows for 20 years, is not in denial about the fact that the vast majority of software that runs on Windows is not made by Microsoft. So I don't think they care that that Steam exists. I mean, you know. But it'll be interesting seeing whether developers actually incorporate this stuff. It's like, there's still hardly any games that actually use Steam multiplayer services, and there are very few games that use Games for Windows Live multiplayer services.
Right.
But I think Microsoft is starting to make the case, and they mentioned this to me, you know, if you're a developer that's making a cross-platform game and it's coming out on 360 and PC, and theoretically also PS3, but especially PC and 360, it's like so much easier for you since you've already done all the work to implement achievements on the 360, implement live matchmaking on the 360. It's so much easier to just do the exact same thing on PC.
Yeah.
And yet a lot of developers...
What's actually easier is to not do achievements and shit in your PC port.
Well, right. But if you're going to... Well, the achievements stuff, sure. But if you're going to go and integrate GameSpy or something...
Yeah, that's
then
true.
You might as well just be integrating Games for Windows Live if you're already doing the stuff on 360 SKU to begin with. But no, obviously, achievements is still extra work. But Yeah.
But it's an extra selling point, too.
Right, exactly.
Some people do care about that stuff.
Yeah, and it adds to your 360 achievements. So the people who actually care about achievements, like, they would care about them equally on a PC game because it's your same number that goes up.
Yeah. The other thing to note is that Steam has no DLC solution. So
that's true.
So, I mean, from a publisher perspective, you know, it's going to be much more attractive.
Right.
You know.
Like, Bethesda's Fallout 3 DLC will exclusively be coming through Microsoft stuff. So you'll only be able to get it through Games for Windows or Xbox Live, which is interesting. And Microsoft said they didn't approach Bethesda with that at all. Like, I asked them specifically, and they're like, no, we're glad they did, but Bethesda, I guess, just...
It just made sense to them.
Yeah, they were just like, well, is it actually worth it on PS3? Like...
Yeah, that makes me wonder how Shivering Isles actually did on the PS3.
Mm. Well, didn't it come as part of the whole thing?
Oh, that's right, yeah. I don't know.
I don't think it was on the... It wasn't on the disc. I mean...
Was it? Or was it?
Pretty sure they sold it. Was
in the, you tell us questions.
Game,
I don't
game of the Year edition or something? And then
there was a Game of the Year edition.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, we can move off this topic.
Whatever.
I don't know how many people care about Games for Windows Live. But I will say that I'm really encouraged to see the direction they're going, and I'm glad... that Steam is getting some competition. I still think
GFW is going in the direction of many Microsoft things where it just sort of quietly sits there as a clunky, goofy thing for a couple of years and then just,
and then just
and
rises
then becomes up. Yeah.
I think it actually, that's all there is.
Speaking of that, there was a really funny moment when I asked the guy, I'm like, so why not just make this part of Vista? Like, why not just make this a thing that just happens with Windows Update? And he's like, the Department of Justice would not appreciate
dude, that is pretty serious.
I asked the same thing. Well, I mean, I asked in relation to Windows 7 because they're going to be...
Question, yeah.
Yeah.
And, he said they can't do that for antitrust reasons. Like, they can't just... But, you know, you'll be... I mean, once you install it on your computer... Once you make the choice to do that, then it will automatically update through Windows Update and be fully integrated into Windows. So, you know, fair enough. But I'm glad to see competition there. Like, now we've got Impulse, Steam, and Games for Windows, and that does sound like overkill, but they're all free, and it is the PC. Like, that is kind of how the PC works, so.
Yeah.
Yep.
I'm glad to see it. I would like to see better multiplayer solutions on the PC anyway, so. Anyway, moving on. We can do some. We might as well.
One thing about that.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's nice for the sake of competition that there are three. I personally, and I'm sure a bazillion people agree, that there is a really nice advantage to there only being one.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, if it gets to the point where there are like seven games on my machine that are managed through the GFW games launcher, and there are 15 through the Steam launcher, and there are an additional three through the Impulse system.
Right.
That will suck.
And there's actually more than three. Well, I mean, like, buy anything
X-Fire,
from EA. Like, if you buy anything from EA, you're using their thing. You know?
I don't.
The thing is, you could set up Steam to launch all of those.
I'm not entirely one to speak since I work at Telltale Games, who we use our own game launching system. But that's true. You can't just add them all to Steam.
I literally launch, at this point, I launch every PC game I run through Steam, whether it's just a shortcut or anything else.
I like when, like, people on my friends list discover the novelty of the fact that, that any game you add to Steam broadcasts out to your friends because, like, I'll see someone who's
even if it's not a Steam game.
Right, it's like this person is playing and it's just some bullshit, weird, old game that they've clearly added as a novelty. And then they clearly got a friend's message from someone because then the next is like, so-and-so is playing Tear Balls. It's like, okay, great. So-and-so is playing, like, fuck, lol. Like, okay,
I've
you're
never
done
seen that,
now.
But that's
oh, man. I watched a friend of mine just, like, cycle through a billion novelty names because he was clearly talking to someone else.
Right.
About the hilarity of broadcasting things through the toolbar pop-up.
No, but
so
Steam is
that.
Cool with that stuff. I mean, I like that you can just do that.
Yeah.
It's basically the same as just having another start menu just for games, but I like having it all centralized. It's just like a nice place to have all my games.
Yeah. All your computer games.
All my games. So anyway, we should go on reader mail or we'll be way long here.
We love reader mail.
Reader mail. First, I want to cordially thank Black Box Me and Satisfied Note Taker for reviewing us on iTunes. Thanks, guys. That was kind of you. Very nice reviews that they put up there. Hint, hint. Also,
you didn't mean that at all.
forums.idlethumbs.net. You should go there. Join our forums and chat with our dudes. We actually have a surprisingly present forum community. There actually are a bunch of people there who post every single day about video games.
They've been there since 2004.
go join them.
Also, you should at least go to check out the amazing header art by a dude who's sort of a friend of ours online who used to do a lot of art for the site back in the day. There's sort of some amazing digital paintings on that site of what we envision the site as in one forum and what it actually is in another forum.
Yeah.
So poke around.
Yeah, a remnant of the days when we actually had tons of custom art all the time on our site. So yeah, forums.lthumbs.net. You should go there. So yeah, reader mail. Yuzbricker, icebreaker for you non-Dutchies, he explains with a winky face. Hey guys, quick question regarding Far Cry 3, since you all seem to love Far Cry 2. Nick doesn't.
the rest he hates of, it.
I do. I like it. Since it's selling rather well, it actually sold over 1 million units, which I'm pleased about. I'm glad to see that. Good for those guys.
This is a weird reader mail that he's written.
It's not. since it's selling rather well, they're working on a sequel. I don't know if he's assuming that or if they've actually said that, but they almost certainly will have a sequel. So that he, I'm
sure. I think there was something about
jab
that.
Jab / fact about Ubisoft.
Yeah. What would you like to see them do for this version? I would like to see more wildlife, big and small, maybe some interfaction battles. I agree with that for sure. So you can stumble around the jungle and see a tropical bird fly away or sneak up on a checkpoint and see two factions duke it out and barge in and help one side out. Yeah, I think those are – that's actually – very much the kind of stuff I would want to see. Like, I was really disappointed, actually, that there aren't the factions don't actually have more battles happening.
They sort of
like,
exist more in their relation to you rather than
right,
each other.
Exactly.
In the game.
Like, yeah. In this game, every single, essentially, except for people who are inside buildings, everyone you'll ever find is trying to kill you, which, you know.
That's too bad.
Yeah. In a sense, it's borne out by the fiction, I guess. But in another sense, why aren't there citizens who are being terrorized by these groups?
Yeah.
Like, who are the people that these people are exploiting?
Like, did you notice that every single person in this country is a mercenary?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, there are no women and children. There are no dudes. There are no cab drivers. Like, everybody is toting
a rifle.
There's
that one cab driver.
There's that one cab driver
in
the opening cutscene.
Okay, yeah, he's the one, and then he's dead. So
yeah.
That was the last one. It's actually truly a heart-wrenching story, Far Cry 2. That was the civilian
last
in that
driver.
Nation.
Yeah, so I would like, yeah. Yeah.
Like, you know, one feature that they touted a lot, and maybe, like, I know you and I, Chris, spent a lot of time talking to, like, the dudes making this game.
Yeah.
So we got, like, the kind of bullet point PR pitch on the game. But, like, one of the features they touted that was a complete non-issue in the game to me was the supposed, like, dynamic social hierarchy of warlords and, like, mid-bosses and all that kind of thing. And it was like, you know, you can kill the warlord, like, the guy who leads this one faction, and, like, the guy under him will dynamically, like, take his place.
Right.
I didn't see any of that.
Some of that stuff is sort of in there, like, but it happens so transparently that nobody would ever notice.
Yeah, I mean, it seemed like it was just kind of woven into the kind of the set storyline.
You need to put, like,
line,
a family
like,
tree, like, yeah, on a I mean, wall yeah. somewhere.
That you could,
like in your house, you know?
It's such a quiet and, like, seamless thing that doesn't actually change the gameplay in like a really tangible way that I think it's hard to notice. Like it's to some of the stuff they have in there is kind of impressive in that I remember early on, and I think I've told this anecdote, but I think early on when I was looking for technical help, I noticed a bunch of people post about the first mission and like they all described a different thing, which I thought was really cool. But again, you're never going to notice that unless you're actually talking to people. And you know what I mean? It's the kind of thing where the dynamic aspects of it are so seamless that, you know, I think they would be more borne out, frankly, if there were things like interfaction battles and civilians who were at this point not being terrorized. At this point, they are because this faction gains more power. And so, I mean, I'd love to see that in a Far Cry 3. This game was ambitious enough in terms of the world that I'm sure this is the kind of stuff that gets cut first. But now that they've got the kind of systems down, I would love to see more of that social interaction. All right.
I just want more guns.
More levels.
Yes.
Eddie writes, "Hey guys, g'day. Just to let you know, I'm from Melbourne, Australia, and you have a following down under as well. Well, as far as I know, it's just me at the moment."
Sweet. Thanks.
Love the show. Very cool. I've been searching the internet for good podcasts, etc. glad you had something to say good about Far Cry 2 as well. Man, this is cool. I like these people. Anyway, I have some questions. The first is about Fallout 3. Okay. The game is supposed to be great and all that, but I'm worried about the VAT system. I'm not a fan of RPGs, but I loved Oblivion and thought the combat was good. In that game, is the VAT a silly turn-based combat scenario? Did we already read this question?
I don't remember it.
A tech gear question. Do any of you know anything about 5.1 surround headphones for the 360? Which one is it?
They'll definitely play that opening cutscene.
So, I don't know. What do you guys think about the VATs? I like the VATs.
I like the VATs. Some good VATs.
Why is everybody looking at me?
I don't know.
You haven't chimed in yet on the VATs.
I haven't played beyond the preview process. Okay. I keep
really?
Table.
Yeah.
Yeah, I actually haven't played the
I was skeptical about the VATS.
I was skeptical too.
The VATS impressed me overall.
Yeah. I don't know. More than one person has said to me that it kind of makes the game too easy.
I don't really agree with that.
Really?
I don't really know. I don't really have like a two... I don't know.
It would take it makes a lot it repetitive
for a game
in
to
a
actually
way.
Annoy me by being too easy. I don't care enough about... A game that's that goddamn long, like, I don't need it to also be fucking frustrating.
Yeah, I don't know. One of my coworkers said his strategy just became equip shotgun,
yeah,
run up to a guy
true.
As close as you can get, yeah. Pop the VATS, and headshot over and over, and you shoot him in the face with your shotgun.
Yeah.
But that was hilarious. I mean, that was entertaining. Yeah.
I can't knock,
constantly.
I can't knock shooting people in the face with a shotgun at point blank range.
Yeah, I mean, it did get a little...
Exploitable.
Yeah, it's exploitable, and it got a little repetitive, but I think that some of the harder fights, you definitely couldn't do that. So, I mean...
But that one guy, totally.
Yeah, that one guy.
Yeah, that is eventually how you just start dealing with super mutants.
Yeah.
Because they're such big fucking annoying ass, big ass fuckers that you're just like, oh my god.
Yeah.
They're slow enough that you generally can just run right up to them and pop their heads off.
So, but it's fun.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Fallout 3 is kind of one of those games where there are a lot of little things you can criticize. Like, that is one example. The animation is pretty bad most of the time. Like, there are a lot of little things. Like, some of the voice work is inconsistent that I suspect arises from having so much goddamn
just
dialogue
volume,
that, you know, adding stuff in later on for a new session, like, it would be hard to maintain. But, I mean, they're all things that it's like, okay, fine. But, like, the overall experience to me is so enjoyable and so perfectly sort of capturing what they're trying to capture that I don't – that stuff has not really gotten to me. Let's see. Syl, a game designer with Cyanide Studio, which I think is a French studio. I could be wrong.
He's offended now.
That's just what I remember being the case, but maybe not. He is critical of us for laughing too much. So I'm sorry about that. I think this episode we actually haven't – there might not be as much boisterous laughter as there
no, definitely,
possibly has.
Sorry, I tend to bring the mood down a little bit. Sorry.
We asked you to, though, after reading this email at the beginning of the podcast. So I might have just lied.
But he does say, keep in mind that if I took time to address you with this mail, it's because I enjoy a lot what you were doing, and just sharing my point of view for you make this an even better performance. So thanks, Kai. I appreciate it.
You got your wish this time because
yes,
because we hate laughing.
Shouldn't that be thanks, Guy?
Thanks, Guy. There you go. Well done. All right. On that note, we should probably wrap this up.
Mm.
Sweet.
So, yeah. Thanks, Brad, for joining us.
Thanks. Thanks. Yes.
He might not be enthusiastic as we
sorry.
Are.
Sorry. Good to be here. Thanks.
Yeah.
Bye.
Awesome. Fired up.
Video games.
Video games.
Video game.
Serious business.
Video game.
Remember in the 80s when 2 liter soda bottles had like the plastic base?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
they don't
yeah.
do that anymore. They just expose them.
Yeah, that's like, true.
Part,
yeah, that's weird. I haven't thought about that in many years.
It was empty all the way down to where like the base was on the 80s ones.
Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I also had one of those homemade like make a whirlpool in 2 2-liter bottle things, and I was annoyed that one of them had that base on it.
Yeah.
True story.
I remember that. Once I remember in elementary school, we had to
save it for the.
We had to make some kind of vehicle that would go through like a tub of water, but we could only make it with things that we brought in our lunch. So like my friends and I, we came up with it in retrospect, idiotic idea to try to have it powered by the reaction caused by baking soda and vinegar. And so we
you
brought
baking soda.
Yeah, right.
Well, we brought the baking soda to like brush
thanks,
our teeth.
Thanks, mom.
Here, and then the how vinegar fortunate. To like put on like a salad, like lettuce that we brought to create a salad. Mainly it was more hilarious to us for that reason than it was for right. the scientific purpose of attempting to make a propulsion system. It didn't work at all. It just sort of sat there with shit, like spewing out the back, spinning around in a circle.
You could have used it maybe to do something.
We didn't.
I'm glad that you didn't.
We thought of it literally as like an exhaust port on the back that would somehow like propel the thing through water by expelling whatever.
Expulging,
you know, expulging. Whatever. Substance is created when you do that.
I think it's vinegar and baking soda.
Yeah, but I mean, there's clearly a chemical reaction that goes
science.
On.
Science.
Science.
It was expelling science.
She blinded me.
Lunch science.
All right, we should get started.
Lunch science.
And then we made a band called Lunchware. That was another assignment. Why the hell did we have all these assignments? What a weird school I must have gone to.
You went to a special school. Wizard. It's November 12th, 2008, and I made eye contact with someone else while saying a thing. It's November 12th, 2008, and Noah Heller is pulling shit.
Everybody look the other way.
No, that's
going to be a thing then.
The Wizard.
Stop laughing.
Video.
Don't laugh.
Video game.
Rib. No fucking rib.